Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Tuesday, July 21st. This is Laughter. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today I have a special treat for you because I have young people in the studio. Usually I am the youngest one here because no, Erin Green is old as dirt, and I am her junior, so therefore I am usually the youngest talk show for the week. But today I have young people. You got to turn your mic around so you can talk to the mic. And bring it close to you. You got to really see. The mic's sensitive, so you got to talk directly inside the mic. Today, I invited two young people. I think the eldest is 18 or younger than that.
17.
My gosh. 17-year-old. And they'll be talking about technology, blockchain, opportunity, entrepreneurship, and mentoring. Because they have now transitioned from being a student to now mentors, teaching in, I guess we might call them tutors, in the program. And I want to talk about their journey. We have a whole half a show that will be talking about just that. But I'm going to first introduce them. I have Felton, who brings his big computer. You see how big this computer. I mean, no laptops come that big anymore. And mine's just a small thing. But we have Felton Petitfrere, who's here with me. He's 17 years old. He's finally graduated now, but he started his own business. And I want to hear that journey about moving from just being someone who's interested in technology. And then we also have Chelsea Smith, who's 17 too. You just turned 17. Right. And she's still a student. But now she is a mentor inside the program, and I want to know that journey and what it being by a mentor. First of all, I want you to formally introduce yourself. I want to have you both give a rundown about your basic education, right, like school type thing, because people like to herald out their school. So, I went to that school too, and I want to hear what their fellow alumni are doing, and how you get into this blockchain for youth business concept, and why you want more Bahamians to join. So that's our journey for today. So we'll start with my left, who will be Felton. Felton, what you say, man?
I'm well.
You're so reserved, man. When I was 17, I was talkative and I grinny. And when you see I'm shy, I say nothing at all. But you are poised as an individual. I mean, it's impressive to see a young man so as poised as you. But no, I'm just flattering now. Who you is, man?
Felton Petitfrere, that's me. I'm from Eleuther, Upper Berwick. My school that I went to, which was Laura L. Anderson, that changed like in the middle of there. So around grade 3, they changed the name to Laura Landerson. It used to just be North Luther Primary School. I finished grade 6 there. From there, I did homeschool. I finished homeschool at 15 years old. And that's my basic education rundown. But before that, the way I got introduced to the blockchain business school, I was playing outside with some friends. I was about 13 or so at the time. And they said, Felton, there's a coding conference, not a coding conference, a coding summer class. And they said, do I want to go? I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So they handed the flyer to my mother. I was like, do you mind paying this for me so I can head over? And she spoke to father. And it was like, that's fine. So I went over. From there, I met my first mentor, Ryan Austin, in Harbour Island, who I'm currently doing some work for now. And from there, we learned JavaScript, which is the first coding language I ever learned. And it was an amazing time. I did not win the hackathon there, but Mr. Ryan saw something in two of the students there And I was one of them. And he introduced me to Ron Elridge, a good mentor and friend of mine now. And from there, she introduced me to the Blockchain Business School. And I did my first conference, I think a year after that, up in Nassau, and then to Austin, Texas, and it's a remarkable journey.
You got to travel?
I did. I met the Prime Minister up in Austin.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Who paid for that?
Rhonda Elridge, the blockchain, well, HAP is also the company that Rhonda owns, is a non-profit organization, basically with the same mission to help further education and possibilities throughout the whole Bahamas, harness all possibilities. And that was covered by HAP. I made it, finally got to go as well. It was an amazing time.
And just for clarity, HAP is an acronym for? Harness all possibilities. HAP. That's the organization. Yeah. So right. Let's talk to Chelsea, right?
Hello.
You're a female. Basically, technology is male dominated. Technology now making overtures now to make sure women are included. Mm-hmm. They're making sure young girls are included. Mm-hmm. You are one of those who have chosen and been selected, and they're pushing you. How you heard about this? Program?
Well, yeah. So, my journey with tech started a while ago.
And I still gotta go over what school you come from.
Okay,
you're still in school.
Let me start there.
Yeah.
Primary school, I would attend Summit Academy right here in Nassau. For high school, or most of high school, I attended Windsor School. And then since probably ninth grade, I've been doing an online program at Stanford Online High School. So that's the program I'm currently at. I'm a rising senior, so this is my last year in high school. But yeah, my journey with tech would have started a while ago, probably around, I want to say COVID. COVID was really my introductory to tech. My older brother is my biggest inspiration and mentor. He would have first introduced me to programming and coding through similar coding platforms like JavaScript and C++ and Python, because he would have been doing similar things and learning just about technology and the importance of programming in general. So I guess really inspired about that and what I would have learned from him, I went on and created my own nonprofit.
You have your own nonprofit?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that. I mean, sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, that's news.
Yeah. So it's called Kids Code 242. I would have created it, that's 6 years ago now, at age 11. But yeah, that's all about teaching kids about the importance of programming. We really would have started with the foundational levels of programming. So that's block coding, Scratch. And then from there, we would have had the kids moved on to slightly more complex programming languages. But yeah, so that's a good bunch of me. Since then, I think through Kids Code 242, Miss Rhonda Eldridge would have reached out to my dad after finding out a little bit about my nonprofit and things I was doing there. So that's where she would have invited me to speak at the Blockchain Business School conference last year. So I would have talked a little bit about my nonprofit, helped them play some games and cahoots and stuff like that. And then, yeah, I've been a part of the team since. Helped with there was an Exuma Youth Tech event that was earlier this month. Yeah, earlier this month in, Mosstown Primary, I believe. Yeah, that was Mosstown Primary. We would have done a similar event teaching kids about artificial intelligence, tech, entrepreneurship.
So now I got a little background from you. Mm-hmm. I find that both of you are astute, and I'm now talking from a public school student trying to get where you all are, right? And I had a school, I had a private school, and I also had a home schooling. And I want to know if there's opportunity for people in a public school to get introduced
100%.
To this program, and how can they get introduced to the program to be as affluent as you are?
Mm-hmm. Well, to start, I gotta shout out my group, Blockchain Business School. You can find out more about the program and the program we'll be doing later this week at 242bbs.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's the website. But yeah, I think now with the internet, just the age of the internet, especially AI, it's more accessible than ever to learn. Learning has become a lot cheaper. There's all kinds of free resources. YouTube is a big one. I say YouTube University. You can go and learn anything on YouTube. So yeah, there's that. There's programs like Khan Academy for, I guess, more academic academic subjects, but I think in terms of like just being more astute, it's all just about wanting to learn more. I think that's like the biggest thing for me, like being curious enough to take time outside of school without having to be forced by your teacher to do your homework and search up on Google, hey, what's this AI thing? What's programming mean? What's blockchain? So it's really about being curious on your own, because I think there's a lot of information already out there. So it's all about seeking it.
So this is where I'm going to test Felton's brain, because I have no clue what blockchain is, right? I hear in you talk about this technology and these big words, right? And I know my child is interested in computers, right? Mm-hmm. She downloads a lot of program and makes graphic work in whatever it is. And now I'm hearing that both of you have this entrepreneurial spirit. The school that you attend and the summer program teaches that, it seems, right? Mm-hmm. One, I want to know what blockchain is. One, to know, make it clear for parents who are listening, who have children who are technically savvy, right? And want to take advantage of the school that you all get to, especially the summer program you all have, mm-hmm. right? What type of jobs, what do you mean by blockchain? What is attractiveness of what you're talking about? I do not understand.
Okay. So blockchain itself, in a way to put it, so it's clear to everyone, especially the kids at home that want to get more into it. You could think of blockchain itself as like a glass box with things going on in the middle of it. So if you go to a bank and stuff, and you want a transaction to take place, you say, hey, can you send 500 to this place? Actually, can you send 500 from my account to Mr. Leary? Mm-hmm. They say, okay, sure. You don't know what happens in the back end of that. You don't know if they get your money from Commonwealth because they had lended it to someone. Mm-hmm. But blockchain basically takes that process, puts it in a glass box, and allows you to see what happens throughout the whole string of things. Mm. It's clarity, basically, when it comes for online transactions and anything of that nature, whether it be crypto or whether it be actual fiat dollars, like the Bahamian dollars and things of that nature.
I know what fiat is. That's money. Yeah, right. a representative of something else. Yeah, anyway, go ahead. I interrupt you. I got excited when you say fiat. Right? No, sorry.
No, absolutely. That's an exciting topic. Money.
Yeah, I like money.
Me too.
I need a raise here, so that's what I need. I like money. Go ahead.
Absolutely, man. And for the different types of jobs and things that can come about from blockchain, thinking about in the aspect of the Bahamas, central banking could be a lot decentralized in order for different opportunities to take place. For example, there's a big need for programmers in the Bahamas. For the language that blockchain uses, coded on a language called Solidity, which there aren't many developers for, and the need has been going up and up every year, and the amount of people learning Solidity goes down and down every single year. And for the job opportunities, it's not just in the Bahamas. For example, the first way I started making money was actually...
You making money?
Boy, I hope so. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I hope something comes into my bank.
And I just pause you for a serious mm-hmm. question, right? You've just finished school, right?
About,
15.
Yeah.
You're 15 and you're now 17, so 2 years. Mm-hmm. You're not in a formal employment where you're working like a 9-to-5. You work for people, but you work for yourself. You're like an entrepreneur, right? How are you making money? Why are you going off to school?
Okay, so let me backtrack to when I was 16, just leaving 15 actually. I was like, I know how to program. I have a decent amount of skills online. How can I translate that into some kind of cash into my bank account? The first way that came into my head is, okay, let me see if I can help people set up Google My Business online. And then I can charge the local shops like a standard rate and then a monthly fee to keep it updated. That didn't work out as well as planned, but the idea was there, and a lot of businesses in my area were not online. So I thought about it, and I was like, what can I do? I know how to make websites. So I made websites for a lot of these local businesses, which also translated internationally. I became a web designer, and that's how I started making...
At 16?
At 16, yes.
Sorry, I was just amazed. Go ahead, finish it.
Impressive.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it there. I became a web designer at 16. A lot of the projects were one-off. Some of them I had a monthly retainer just to keep up the domain, make constant updates and things of that nature. But that's how my first online bit of income came in. Became a web designer at 16. And the rest is just adaptation over the years. And what I'm doing now, tracing back to that first story with Ryan Austin, he's the founder of the payroll app. For that company, I do some. So I'm basically the client success specialist at the payroll app, so, and things of that nature for Mr. Ryan, and that accompanied by my freelance work.
Wow. Now, Chelsea, with your nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
you're doing big things.
Trying to.
Explain, and all this gravitated or came about from being a pool, which you're promoting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your nonprofit and what it does,
yeah.
and you being 17, so. And how is it impacting the Bahamas wider world?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to make sure the parents who are listening now and the kids who are home listening
yeah.
to the show can understand the scope mm-hmm. of what you've learned
yeah.
during these summer programs
mm-hmm.
and now that you're a mentor and what they can do too. Because
yeah.
I see Felton making money,
mm-hmm.
17 years old and making money.
Like
I try to get like him too. You know, go ahead.
But yeah, first I want to say don't let your age, I guess, be a hindrance. I started my nonprofit at 11. So that's 6 years ago now. And now I'm kind of just building up on that. But it just takes initial exposure, which I kind of want to speak a little bit about because I feel like not enough Bahamians and kids know about these kind of topics and know the potential for like income or like web development like Felton and stuff like that. So that's a big thing. But I would say my nonprofit, Kids Code 242, we're really focused on the programming aspects of it, but then also just digital literacy, you know, learning more about how we can use our online resources, the internet, in this age of AI, ChatGPT, Claude, you know, all these new, I guess, buzzwords, how we can use that to benefit us personally, individually, create our own companies like Felton, do freelance work, learn more. But then also how we can better the Bahamas in general, you know, because I think helping ourselves helps our country. So we want to build up all of the youth, build up all of the individuals, because that's the future of the country. That's where all this new information should be at. So, yeah, that's what Kids Code 242 is mainly focused on. We do programs throughout the year, teaching about programming, which is one of the foundational principles in technology, like all about how computers work, how you speak the language of the computer to execute tasks and program algorithms. But now I feel like we're kind of branching out more to really just understand and expose more people to digital literacy and the importance of technology in general. Yeah, I think in recent years, it's definitely spoken about a lot more than it was when I started my nonprofit at 11, which is good to see. But I think a lot of people are scared more of these big terms. Like, they think you have to be really old in order to do this. They think you need, like, a big fancy degree and you have to go off to school to do all this information.
I would assume you need to go off to school,
Mm-mm.
but it doesn't seem so.
No, you could do it right here. He started at, how old were you when you started a company?
15.
So yeah, it doesn't take all those resources. You really just need a computer, a phone, access to the internet. Yeah, it's just a goldmine of opportunities and resources out there to tap into.
So let's backtrack. Both of you entered the blockchain business school,
mm-hmm.
right? And I want to understand what you mean. What is a blockchain business school? Where is that based?
Mm-hmm.
How does a child, a parent say, I want my child to be mm-hmm. invested in that?
Yeah.
So what is a blockchain business school? Mm-hmm. And then how I can get access?
Well, yeah. So BBS or Blockchain Business School, that's the name. And I guess Felton could probably speak to this better than I, but blockchain would have been one of the initial topics. But I just don't want to like centralize on blockchain. Other than blockchain, we're talking about all kinds of very important topics. Climate literacy, digital literacy.
You learn all that?
Yeah, entrepreneurship, AI, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff. Innovation and future careers. So it's not just specific to blockchain. That's one of the many topics. But yeah, so like I said, www.242bbs.com. We're doing programs all throughout the year. We're really trying to get to our outer islands as well. As I said, they had events in Eleuthera. We had an event in Exuma earlier this month. We're having an event in Nassau. But yeah, reach out there. We also have an Instagram page, Blockchain Business School on Instagram, I believe, to find out more about this kind of stuff if they want to get started. But yeah, but it doesn't even take to wait until we have an event or we're in person and on the ground to do this stuff. There's, like I keep saying, there's so many resources online, so many programs and or opportunities online that it really just takes curiosity to get into.
Okay, let me hear Felton's journey in terms of your first time going to this blockchain school, the second year, the third year, the fourth year, or whatever it is during the summer. So parents could understand, like, what y'all do? I hear you, but y'all just seem smart, and you say, okay, my child average, and I want to take advantage of these things, and I don't want to be intimidated by telling a boy child, I don't know. So I want to know exactly how, what is it that you learn? How is it that you learn? And I need to invite Ms. Eldridge. She needs to pay one advert to come here and have a whole program just so I can understand the show itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the show, the school itself. So parents could say, okay, I understand the school. Right now, I understand how you all become mentors and teaching there and during the seminars. But now I need to understand that
the school itself, what it's
and
doing.
The school is in the Bahamas. They could, you could do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, I need to have a whole special program for that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, your journey. On year one, your parents, you get this flyer, mm-hmm. you go on there, and what you learn?
So the first time, which wasn't BBS, this was a summer workshop that Mr. Ryan had hosted. The year after that, after I came back from Austin, she had wanted me to present at the first conference that I was heading to. And the topic that I had spoke on, I believe, was digital security. Right. I believe I spoke on digital security and generative AI. So there was quite a few speakers there. Most of them was in person. I'd also interviewed Dennis Dariotis. That is what I had done there. But what I had learned there for the first time, aside from what I had to present on, was just the vastness of people also having the same interest in what I was doing and people that had made careers out of digital security. Because starting back in like when I was like 14 and 15, I was also heavily interested in cybersecurity. You know, a lot of people are familiar with Hack the Box. You know, I was extremely interested in that, trying to understand the vulnerabilities in certain technologies and how best, you know, you could make money with that. Because the first career that I wanted to do that I didn't even have thought of web design, and was actually, I was going to be a bug bounty hunter, which is someone that gets commissioned to go into technology, find vulnerabilities, and get paid for finding the bug.
But how did you find that that's a career? Where did you get that?
YouTube University. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube University was like, so I heard, I don't remember the exact channel, but this guy was a bug tester, and he was making bank, so it seems on the internet. You really never know these days. Mm-hmm. But he would seem to have been making bank, and I thought, well, I could learn that. I can do that. And from there, you know, of course, I had to speak to my parents about it. It was like, well, if you want to do it, go ahead and try. So I tried. That didn't exactly work out as planned. But from the conference, there was, I think his name was Hamal. There was a man there. He had a career in cybersecurity. Awesome guy. And from there, I was like, well, something could work online. And he was a speaker at the first BBS that I went to. I believe my brother interviewed him along with Regina Albury. And it was amazing. I thought I could make something out of it. And from there, fast forward to the second one. This was, I believe this one was hosted at Sandyport. With Charlene Hansen, she gave a presentation on digital literacy and being safe online, on all the deep fakes back then. Because back in 2023 and 2024, that's when AI had really just started to take mainstream, mm-hmm. and you couldn't really know what was generative or what wasn't, what was real and what was not. But in my head, I was like, that's fascinating. I wanna learn more about that. And from there, I went home. I did a lot more research on generative AI. I learned you can make music from it, which is very mainstream now, Suno AI. A lot of artists on Spotify aren't even real, which has been starting to get a knock on. But back then, you really couldn't tell the difference.
Chelsea, are there more people, students, young people like you, mm-hmm. who graduated the program? Or finish the program, going through the program?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so. The program's been going on for years, to my knowledge. I would have, I guess, recently been introduced to it in the last year. But I know Ms. Eldridge has been doing this for a while, and there's a lot of other programs in the Bahamas really empowering kids about the importance of tech and that space in general. So yeah, I think there's more people like us, but also younger kids as well. But I guess speaking more to the public, because I can understand how we might come off as, oh, like, they're very smart and I don't know how to get access to that, or I don't know how to do that kind of stuff. But I really want to say how open it is and how available these resources is for everyone. And then also, I kind of just want to speak more to younger kids as well, because I think when we hear like all these fancy words, it's easy to like kind of block it off as like, oh, that's adults, that's big people business, I can't really do that. But when you start to understand like games like Roblox and Minecraft, games that younger kids play all the time, these are very, very big games, use programs like Lua, that's the coding language for Roblox, and then JavaScript for Minecraft. Or is it Java for Minecraft. But yeah, so these very important or very well-known games that kids are playing are ran and used and programmed with technology. And I think it's important for them to understand that. And I guess understand the source of all of the things that they're doing and playing. Because I think when we have a computer or we sit in front of tech, we don't necessarily see what's behind the code.
No.
So it's important to understand how these things work, because with AI and vibe coding, like, there's all kinds of new apps and all kinds of new fields that are being built now with this AI bubble. But yeah, it's really interesting stuff, but I think it just takes curiosity.
So you give a website. Mm-hmm. Now, when y'all started, how old were you? 13, 14? Younger than that, 12? What age does this start?
Ooh, it starts as young as it gets. I've worked with kids as young as 6.
So at 6 years mm-hmm. old, they can come to this business.
Ms. Wanda was telling me at one of the events she was at, there was a kid who was 5, and he's right there with all the other 13 and 14-year-olds asking questions about quantum mechanics and all kinds of other crazy topics. So yeah, don't let your age discourage you. It really, you could start anywhere.
This particular event is going to be held in the Bahamas?
Yes, sir.
Tell me some more about that.
Yeah, so the event's going to be hosted Thursday and Friday of this week. We're going to be at the Boost Academy? Mm-hmm. Boost Academy. Sure. Yeah, so it's a 2-day program. We're going to have a bunch of different speakers talking about all these really good topics. But yeah, this is Bahamas-based company and program. We're doing camps all around the Bahamas throughout the year, and we have been for multiple years. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunity here in the Bahamas, so don't be discouraged. Don't think we're just a small island nation. We're not the U.S. I don't have access to those resources. No, it starts small. You got to start somewhere. But yeah, so don't let yourself get put out.
Now, I know Ms. Eldridge isn't here. Mm-hmm. And I have Texas now is trying to find out how do they register and mm-hmm. in terms of pricing. This is a free event, or you got to pay?
It's free.
Is it free?
Mm-hmm. It's a free event. It's a free event for, so there's different models. So for this event, if you are a student willing to learn, this event is free.
Okay, mm-hmm. I got to step back so people listening. Mm-hmm. I have a smart child who's interested in computers, mm-hmm. right? You'll have an event or some kind of seminar. You say it's a free event. Mm-hmm. I want to know more about it so I can send my child.
Yeah.
Tell me how I can do about that.
Yeah, like I said, it's all on the website. I'm pretty sure there is a registration link on the website or a QR code you can scan on there, www.242bbs.com. There's all a bunch more information on the programs, we've been doing throughout the years. But if you want to learn more about how to get started today, how to sign up on Thursday and Friday to be there with us, that's where you go.
Which Thursday and Friday, by the way?
This week.
This week. Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. Ah, so you, now the time to go on the internet now to try find more information, especially if your child is computer savvy and want to know more about this thing.
Or even if they just want to get exposed, we're going to have some prizes. So yeah, it doesn't have to be just kids in the tech space, you know, really anybody who
And y'all are seniors. I mean, 17 years old and saying the word senior is kind of odd. It's a paradox, right? But y'all will be presenting and speaking to the young people there?
Yes, sir. I will be doing a couple of... I really like to do hands-on activity with the kids. I work at my church. Homes have a church. Got a shout out my church.
Okay,
I work
a good church.
With their youth. I just finished their vacation Bible school a couple weeks ago. So I'm all about hands-on activities, really getting the kids engaged. Because it's one thing to sit at the kids, talk to them, almost talk at them. But then you got to get to their level, speak in terms of terms they know, you know, Roblox, games, stuff like that. And really get them engaged, because sometimes it just takes a small spark to start this interest going. That's how I started. I started just wanting to know more about the game I was playing, Roblox, and how that works. My older brother wanted to introduce me to programs like that. But yeah, it just takes a small spark of curiosity.
Cause I have a nephew who's five who do, I mean, he do all kind of building in Roblox. Every minute, Uncle, send me some more, some kind of money, you know, Roblox, and I send it, right? And I'm just saying, this is a waste of money going down this hole, but that's what he wants for presents, right? You're trying to say, from that basic Roblox thing, he can start a career, he can start...
Well, you can get started. So Roblox itself is a game. It's kind of like a hub of games. I don't want to necessarily shout it out too much, but more on Roblox Studios, which is the program you use to build games. You can create your own games and, I guess, like small community web development apps and stuff like that on Roblox Studios. So that's kind of where I want to funnel the kids. But yeah, when I was probably 12 or 13, I would have gone on Roblox Studios and done a course on Lua, and I would have created like my own like Roblox like obby, which is like an obstacle course program. That would have been really fun. But yeah, that kind of, I would say Roblox Studios specifically gets you into the field of like creation, building your own things, getting your hands dirty a little bit. But from there, once you start to get exposed and know more about tech and programming, it just funnels all the different things you can do on the internet, all the different places you can learn, all the different places you can make money. There's so many opportunities, whether you're here in school now or graduated recently, like the possibilities is limitless.
My gosh. I'm kind of jealous I'm not 17. Felton, then start going blank. Felton, what should kids or parents who are registering their child to attend this thing Thursday and Friday, what's on the agenda? Not saying the timeline, but the subject's going to be covered.
So we have a very broken down version of blockchain, the what it is and the applicability in the community, digital literacy, generative AI and how it could be used to help yourself, not completely replace your capacity to make decisions, but instead use it in a way that complements it and helps you to make wiser decisions instead of replacing your thinking faculties. And then we also have cybersecurity, digital literacy, and how to be safe on the internet.
Yeah, and then just to intrude, sorry to interrupt, but yeah, one of our main themes this year is brain capital and climate.
Brain capital.
That's my new word.
Is it climate?
Yes, climate. Climate change.
How does that come with technology, climate change?
That's well, the sun it's all and, about technology.
That's you the gotta, sun and God and things.
But climate change, technology, like solar panels and wind energy and all that good stuff.
You're hiding this. You're saying this climate change. Just to say solar panels. I understand what
solar
panels
Solar panels, wind energy, all of that. SDGs, stuff like that. But I was going to say brain capital, more on that. Brain capital, Ms. Rhonda would have recently introduced me to this, and I really like the concept. It's all about brain health and developing brain skills. Brain health being like mental health and also like neurological well-being, but also brain skills in terms of like cognitive ability, problem solving, critical thinking skills. So not just asking kids how or what is the problem, but really getting them to think about the root causes, you know, reverse engineering it, thinking, how do I make the problem worse to make it better? You know, how do I make it as bad as I can and then flip that on its head to find out a really effective solution? So that's another one of our core themes that we're going to be doing throughout the program with our interactive activities. But yeah, it's a great program, speaking on all kinds of very important topics. Exposure is a big thing.
I'm impressed with both of you. Mm-hmm. I just had 30, 40 minutes for you, but I want to know more about you and find out how can more behemoths take advantage mm-hmm. of this opportunity, especially young behemoths at 17, mm-hmm. See? Let's take this commercial break. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Hey, kids, are you ready? It's back, the Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp. July 27th to 31st at the Kendall Isaacs Gym, 2 to 5 p.m. daily, and August 3rd to 8th, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. for boys and girls from 5 to 18. Come enjoy the thrills of the big game alongside NBA legends and current superstars Michael Sweetbell Thompson, Michael Jr., Klay Thompson, Buddy Hield, Muggsy Bogues, and many others. Registration forms available now at the Seventh-day Adventist offices on Tony Williams Darling Highway. The Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp.
Yeah. We're gonna give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Pentagon Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Pentagon, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Pentagon Island Game, we got you. Percy Pentagon, from the friends you can trust, if winning is a must, go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Attention Island Game players. Percy's pension plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 a week for a full year. Applications close September 8th. Apply now at theislandgame.com.
Headed to South Florida soon? Holiday Inn Express in Plantation welcomes you to the heartbeat of Florida fun. Whether it's business or pleasure, the Holiday Inn Express is close to sensational shopping, captivating dining, and nightlife. Elevate your Florida experience. Sleep well and rest easy at Holiday Inn Express. Complimentary breakfast buffet featuring seasonal favorites. Keep up your fitness routine in our 24-hour on-site fitness center with cardio equipment and free weights, or take a refreshing swim in our outdoor pool. Your special Bahamas tourist rate awaits. Holiday Inn Express, 1701 North University Drive in Plantation. Book your getaway now. Call directly at 954-472-5600 or the sales department for reservations and additional information.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. My guests have left already. That's Felton Petitfrere and also Chelsea Smith. They are actually leaders, actually hosting an event at Boost Academy, which will be on Thursday and Friday. If you want your child registered as young as 11, 12, especially boys, right? You see, Felton has traveled the world now, teaching, speaking engagement, and interviewing people running from 13 years old, and not no formal education in terms of going off to university. You know, he learned what he have learned here in Nassau, right? Being mentored. And this particular program at 242BBS.com, 242BBS.com, where you can register for free and send your child to learn about blockchain, about the games they play, entrepreneurial field, just register and send your child and you see how far they can go. I mean, they grooming leaders. Each of the 17-year-olds who are here were doing big things in terms where adults are doing, right? They're opening business, you know? I was impressed. I was very much impressed with that. But moving on, transitioning, I want to read something into the record, something I came across. But even before then, the other day in my Acklands and Crooked Island group, one of the posters posted a lighthouse. Is that on Bird Key? Bird L? I don't know where the lighthouse is in Crooked Island. But I know the lighthouse dilapidated. It's falling down. I know that when they was taking pictures and walking through the lighthouse, they said, if they get cut by one of those rusty things, they get dead right there because there's no hospital down there. And I want to talk about who is in charge of the lighthouses. Is there some organization that is responsible for maintaining the lighthouse? I mean, when I say maintaining, I don't say to have the lighthouse work itself, you know, but just to say it doesn't crumble, that people go and take pictures of it. Should there be someone? I know the see how we like foreign people and how foreign people have to take care of what we have here in Nassau, what we have in the Bahamas, by extension, I'm sorry. I know the U.S. Embassy is technically responsible for that candy cane red and white stripe lighthouse in Abaco. They spend the money. U.S. Embassy spend their money to make sure that lighthouse is upkept, like upkeep, whatever the right word is for that. And then I picture the Paradise Island Lighthouse, which is dilapidated, completely fallen down, the top of it gone. I'm not sure who's responsible for it. Then I picture, I know there's supposed to be a lighthouse in San Salvador, I assume. That must be in a dilapidated state there. I saw the San Salvador school, the pictures of the San Salvador school the other day, shake my head, say, Lord, this is us, right? As good as it gets. And I don't blame the government, though. I blame us as a Bahamian people. Right, because there should be a minimal standard that we accept, and that the people who are vested in these places, the people of Crooked Island and Acklands, should have come together and said, okay, I need this to maintain this lighthouse, and since the government ain't gonna do it, I'm gonna start a organization that will maintain it, and then lobby. It's just not happening. We have become so lax that the entire Bahamas is crumbling next to us, and we're not doing anything with it. I see also inside one of the dailies that they're doing a crackdown at the various construction sites. I smiled Because I remember before the election, they said we short labor and we have all kind of people we trying to import. We hear that we have now Ghana construction workers. We have South African construction workers. And not people who happen to be here and who are from South Africa, who happen to be here and who are from Ghana and they get a job. I'm saying that we imported a group of South Africans. We imported a group of Ghanaians, right, to come to the Bahamas to build structures. I used to Mexican coming here. They in Americas, I expect anyone from the Americas, I expect Americans, right? I expect to see a Filipino now. No, I don't expect to see a Filipino construction worker. No, I don't. I expect to see all a South American construction worker. But now that we are importing people from Africa, right? If I see a Chinese construction worker, I know more likely we got a loan from them, and that's part of the loan agreement that they come here to do. Understand that. I'm not too quite understanding how we have Ghanaian and South African construction workers. Like, how that happened? I just don't know. I just don't know how that happened. This text says, good morning. The seminar for Thursday and Friday this week. Why did you say especially boys? This would discourage girls who may be interested. One of the guests said was a girl. We have a male crisis inside the Bahamas where men are falling down. Me trying to help my own. I mean, they have women advocates who promote women in general, young girls in general. All the teachers are female. They promote females. All the principals tend to be females. They promote females, right? Lecturers are females, right? They already have advocates for women. I see that there are a number of men who have fallen down between the cracks and at risk, and the young girls, my daughter, having issues finding a good man to get married. So I'm going to promote, Texter, that men, young boys, instead of shooting guns and being gang members, they need to go and learn this blockchain. So I'm making no excuse of it. I want all the young boys between 11, 12, 13, go to this free seminar and learn how to do all these technological stuff and be able by 17 to open their own business. And not just open their own business, have a thriving competitive business where people can hire you outside the Bahamas from the skills you learn within those young age. So I'm making excuses. I hear you, Texter, that, you know, but let the women advocates promote women. And then let us men, and as a girl dad, by the way, but let, at this present time, I need to have a security of boys. I'm just saying, I just need it. So good morning. Please reshare the website. Also, can adults and parents register too? This for children, man. This for children to make sure by 17, 18, the children who attend these seminars, because it's a series of seminars. You go to the first one, and they introduce you to other ones that you can attend to, that you can, by 17, 18, within a year or two, you can open up your own business. Graphic work, doing blockchain work, app work, because they teach apps too, right? And that website is 242bbs.com, just in case you want to send your child, any age. From 11, 12. Like I said, they had some people, 7 there, who were creating video games and then selling their video games that and all here in the Bahamas. That's my point. These Bahamian children. I didn't know we had children could do these type of work. So I'm impressed. That's why I said, man, come on. You doing the seminar? I want to hear that, right? Something else I wanted to read before I go. It was only 1 hour. I can read the headline. The headline from the editorial in the Tribune says, Bahamians juggling multiple jobs amid rising living costs. I don't have time to read that, but yes, Bahamians now averaging 2 jobs. They have a job and a side hustle. Some people say that's a good thing. I grew up, like I said, Jamaican descent, so I used to Jamaicans having 3 jobs. I used to my mother having 3 jobs. So I myself have multiple streams of income. And I even heard Aaron speaking about that. What could be a side hustle? What could be your multiple streams of income? I believe in having multiple streams of income. But I think this particular editorial was speaking that thing so rough, thing so hard, that you have no other choice. So the side hustle is not to get you over. It's just for you to meet your bills. And that is concerning when your regular, your main job, your regular paycheck is not enough. So now you need to find a career, a side hustle that you can make some good money. And trade schools offer that. BTVI for free, right? You could do hair and nails. You could do plumbing. You could do some electrical work. All these things you could do. Anyway, Pearlie is here. Pearlie is here, so it's time show Z Live, right? I could talk to Pearlie while I go outside. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Yeah, don't forget, you know, Island Games. You got to go on to islandgame.com to get your win your paycheck for every week. You know, with $20, $25 there, yeah, you get $1,000 a year. Yeah, that's islandgames.com. You have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau.